What is up, you guys? Welcome to another edition of Controversial Thoughts. There's an amazing sunset going on right now in Costa Rica, so I will make this one brief, and then I will go watch it. But this is a really interesting topic that I think needs to be addressed, and this is what's fun about doing the Controversial Thoughts videos. If you have not signed up for Animal Base 30, check it out, animalbase30.com. We're doing this at hardandsoil.co, and animal-based diet, I'll be talking about that in this video, will improve your fertility, will improve your overall health span and lifespan and quality of life. We're super stoked to offer this free to everyone, and we hope you will join us and check it out, and I think that you will benefit. So today's video is about fertility, and there is a huge epidemic of increasing infertility in women and men, but this video is primarily about women. Although I will discuss a little bit about men's fertility at the end of it. But I can't tell you how often I've heard from women that I know that they have friends who are struggling with fertility, or people on the team at Heart and Soil who have friends who are struggling with infertility. Rates of infertility in women are rising. So what is causing all of this increased infertility in women? Certainly there's an increase in stress. We could say environmental toxins. But if you had to guess, whether you are a man or a woman listening to this, if you had to guess what I might think, just off the top of your head, what I might think would be contributing to infertility in women, what would you say? If you guessed micronutrient deficiency due to a lack of high quality animal foods in our diets, and perhaps insulin resistance, you would be right. And this isn't to say that I'm completely predictable, but that medicine and human health and disease do appear to follow a pattern. And the pattern that they appear to follow is one in which many diseases have the same root, whether it's an autoimmune disease or infertility in women or insulin resistance and all of its manifestations, be it diabetes or heart disease or polycystic ovarian syndrome, et cetera, which is essentially insulin resistance until proven otherwise. So what do I think is going on here? I think that in general, women are eating less meat. They're eating less red meat, and they're certainly eating very few organs. This is another reason that I feel very proud to do what I do, to do what we do at Heart and Soil, to make desiccated organ supplements that can get you guys these organs very easily and get these micronutrients that you need to grow eggs in your ovaries as a woman or sperm in your testicles as a man more conveniently than eating fresh organs. If you want to eat fresh organs, that's great. I'll give you a pat on the back, give you a high five. And if you don't want to eat fresh organs, like most people, the desiccated organ supplements are a great option, and they are simply beneficial for humans. And I feel so good about the fact that many people are benefiting massively. At the end of this podcast, I will share with you an awesome review about someone who improved their fertility and was finally able to conceive. In fact, I'll just share that right now. So the review is from a woman named Sherilia, and she says, "Hi, Paul. I just wanted to let you know that after putting a couple of months, putting a couple who had been struggling for 4 years to conceive a child on a nose-to-tail diet, along with your Heart and Soil supplements, they have finally conceived. They have spent thousands and thousands over the past 4 years through in vitro fertilization, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, traditional prescriptions, and zero. Only 8 weeks of putting them both on a mostly grass-fed red meat, organs, and some fatty fish program, along with your desiccated organ supplements, and they are now pregnant. How cool is this? Thought you might like to hear another amazing success story, changing lives, dot, dot, dot." So this is from Sherilia, who was working with this couple, and simply by changing their diet and including desiccated organs, they are able to conceive. How cool is this? It's not incredibly surprising to me, because I think that the majority of time, infertility, though it could be stress, it could be environmental toxicants, absolutely, is nutrient insufficiency, caloric insufficiency, protein insufficiency, and maybe insulin resistance resulting from seed oils and other things that I have talked about at length. So what does the literature say about this? Well, the cool thing is that even in the literature, people are very aware that micronutrients are important for fertility. So this is a paper looking at the impact of preconceptional multi-micronutrient supplementation on female fertility. Well, you guys will all know what I think the best multiple micronutrient supplement would be, and it would definitely be desiccated organs or fresh organs. And so they say micronutrient status is a modifiable risk factor that may have an impact on female fertility. I would say it definitely does, as essential vitamins and minerals have important roles in the physiological processes that are involved. Adequate levels are important for oocyte quality, that's egg quality, maturation, fertilization, implantation, whereas antioxidants are vital to reduce oxidative stress, a process known to impair fertility. In women who are diagnosed as infertile, lower than recommended levels of certain micronutrients have been reported. Not surprising, guys. Now, which micronutrients might be low in these people? They're the type of micronutrients you can get in animal foods: folate, riboflavin, B12, zinc, taurine, carnitine, carnosine, choline, the list goes on and on, K2. This is how we conceive. This is the evolutionary signal to women and men that there is abundance, and it is the presence of animal foods when there is a successful hunt. Might it be reasonable evolutionarily for humans to not conceive if you're not getting animal foods in the diet? Yes, because that would mean a time of scarcity. That would not be a time to carry a baby. Yet another evolutionary suggestion or corroboration of the assertion that humans are built to be animal hunters and that animal foods lie at the center of our existence. Yet another study I'll show you guys here. So this one is a review, nutrition and female fertility, an interdependent correlation. They talk about aging, a number of non-modifiable lifestyle-related risk factors, smoking, consumption of caffeine and alcohol, stress, agonist sports, so extreme sports participation, which leads to low body fat, chronic exposure to environmental pollutants. We accept all that. But beyond that, I think the majority of infertility is nutritional habits, okay? In particular, they say metabolic disorders, including diabetes, obesity, hyperlipidemia, commonly associated to hypercaloric diets, are suspected to affect women's fertility by either direct damage to oocyte health and differentiation or indirect interference with the pituitary hypothalamic axis, resulting in dysfunctional oogenesis, that is the formation of eggs. At the end of the abstract, they say, furthermore, in relation to the oxidative stress as a cofactor of defective oocyte maturation, an appropriate intake of proteins, antioxidants, and methyl donor supplements. Methyl donors are things like folate, riboflavin, which are primarily found in animal foods in the most bioavailable forms, may decrease the bioavailability of toxic oxidants, resulting in protection of oocyte maturation. So in this abstract, they're talking a lot about antioxidants. As you guys know, if you listen to my stuff, I do not believe that plants are the only, the unique, or the magical source of antioxidants in our diet. We get plenty of antioxidants, quote, from animal foods that are never talked about, things like carnitine, carnosine, taurine, and the building blocks for glutathione, specifically cysteine and glycine, and the B vitamins like vitamin B6 that are needed to make glutathione, glutathione being the major cellular antioxidant in your body. So by providing your body with life stress, whether it's sun, exercise, heat, cold, whatever, your NRF2 will dissociate from KEEP1 and cause all those lovely genes that increase your levels of glutathione to turn on. That's what I call environmental hormesis. It doesn't have associated side effects. You do not need broccoli to have more glutathione. And broccoli is going to be a problem for many people in many other ways, including the impairment of the absorption and utilization of iodine, which is going to affect the thyroid. And certainly we know that pituitary hypothalamic thyroid axis, or the hypothalamic pituitary thyroid axis, is critical for proper oocyte maturation. This is all to say that if you need micronutrients, which we all do, you best get them from animal foods with less toxins and with more of the good stuff in more bioavailable forms. And if you want to avoid insulin resistance, you probably want to avoid seed oils and processed sugar. Now, I believe that for most people who are infertile, who don't have scarring of the uterus or other issues, pituitary problems, or frank hormonal problems in terms of hormonal dysregulation, the transition to a nutrient-rich animal-based diet, the kind of thing we talk about during the Animal Based 30 this month, mostly animal meat and organs from well-raised sources like white oak or Belcampo, fresh organs or desiccated organs like we make at Hardened Soil, and the least toxic plant foods, which I believe are fruit, things like honey, which is probably made by, which is made by bees, probably not even a real plant food. These are the foods that I think are going to allow humans to thrive. These are the foods that our ancestors treasure and favor, like the Hadza and other hunter-gatherer groups, some of which I've observed firsthand, others of which I plan to go visit in the future, like the Ikung. But in case you had any questions or doubts about insulin resistance and fertility, consider this paper, which is another review paper, but definitely talks about this issue: insulin resistance, hyperinsulinemia, and reproductive disorders in infertile women. This talks about polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is insulin resistance until proven otherwise. Where does insulin resistance come from? I don't think it comes from excess carbohydrates if you are metabolically healthy, though in someone who is insulin resistant, carbohydrates are not going to be tolerated well. The removal of them will be quite helpful, but I believe that it is foundationally, fundamentally, the inclusion of evolutionarily inconsistent seed oils, corn, canola, safflower, sunflower, soybean, grapeseed, in our diets that are changing the composition of our membranes, changing the composition of our cellular membranes, mitochondrial membranes, cardiolipin composition. I've done lots of podcasts on this with Tucker Goodrich, Chris Kenobi, many others. If you have questions about seed oils, please refer back to those, but eliminate those from your diet and include the organs, either fresh or desiccated, like we make it hard in soil. And I believe that you, if you are a woman who is struggling with infertility, will see massive changes in your fertility. So be aware that if you haven't been able to get pregnant, you may suddenly get pregnant if you do these changes, which will hopefully be a positive thing for you, but be prepared either way. So if you are a woman and are thinking about including our supplements from Hardened Soil in your diet, I would recommend starting with something like beef organs, which is heart, liver, kidney, spleen, and pancreas, or heart of the warrior, which is heart and liver together. You might also consider skin, hair, and nails, which is going to have special types of cartilage from trachea and scapula cartilage, with liver and bone marrow as a third option. But I think the inclusion of those supplements or fresh organs on an animal-based diet, like we're advocating for in the Animal Base 30, you can sign up at animalbase30.com to get tons of free resources, will help massively with your fertility. And what about for guys? Well, guess what? There's a lot of good evidence that the nutrients, the unique nutrients found in animal foods, like for instance, taurine, negatively affect sperm quality. Taurine deficiency in sperm causes male infertility. Oh, that's interesting. Where do you get taurine from? Not from spinach, from animal foods, guys. Effects of taurine on human embryo development in vitro, that's in a test tube, right? Improves the early stages of human development in vitro. So taurine is just one of the unique nutrients found in animal foods, especially animal organs, either fresh or desiccated, that will help with male fertility. What we find ourselves amidst right now is an epidemic of animal food deficiency based on poorly reported science and misinformation. Do not be misled by epidemiology. Do not be misled by this silly science that ignores millions of years of human evolution and clear data from anthropology suggesting that hunter-gatherers use meat and organs as the center of their diet always. These are the foods that make us healthy, vital, virile, libidinous, which is a beautiful thing, and able to share life, create life in a sexual relationship with someone else. So those are my thoughts on fertility. I think that in general, so many of the conditions that we suffer from broadly as a culture are related to these same issues, and they can be fixed in many of the same ways, which is why an animal-based diet is so important. Hope you guys will join us for Animal-Based 30. I hope the supplements from Heart and Soil are beneficial. Check it out, heartandsoil.co. If you need help with that stuff, join us at animalbase30.com this month. Stay radical, guys. I love you all.